Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Don Bram. Don Bram and Sharon Hanks are the winemakers and owners at Moonstone Crossing Winery located in Trinidad. Tell me about the name Moonstone Crossing. Where did that come from?
Moonstone Cross Road is our address, 1000 Moonstone Cross Road. So that's where the name came from. We're throwing around different names, and then a friend of ours, Sari, said, why don't you call it Moonstone Crossing? We were thinking Moonstone Cross sounds nice, but it almost sounds religious, and we didn't really want to have a religious angle to our name. So,
When did you first get interested in making wine?
Well, when Sharon and I first got together, we would go to Europe when it was a lot cheaper and we had time. And we would travel around first Tuscany for 3 or 4 years and then into southern France. And we love the food and wine pairing that we're experiencing, along with, of course, the antiquities and the history of everything there. So I ran into a friend of mine, somebody I had gone to grad school with at Humboldt, and he was making wine locally and was at a benefit pouring for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I volunteered to help him. So one thing led to another, and before I knew it, I was making wine under his teaching, his tutelage, and what was going to be one barrel of wine turned into 5 barrels of wine. Next year, 12 barrels of wine. And then after that, it just kept going larger and larger. But we were making under Curtis and David's license and bond at that second year. First year was learning, and then thereafter was all essentially commercial.
Yeah, it sounds like it went from a hobby to commercial pretty darn quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's kind of just going to get sucked into it, and it's a lot of fun. You have a product for every moment you put into it. Essentially, you get to see something developing. That's the excitement and the joy from winemaking.
And what types of wine do you make? What varietals?
Well, we actually have, now we're currently pouring, I think, 33 different wines in our tasting room. So we have a number of whites, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay. We make a couple of rosés. We started making sparkling wines, which take several years to develop in the bottle. First, you make them as still wine, you bottle it, and then you do another fermentation in the bottle, which builds up the pressure. And you have to wait 2 years for the fine bubbles to develop before you disgorge it and release it for sale. And in reds, we make, oh gosh, I think like 18 different reds. Some of them are blends, but we do a lot of the Bordeaux varietals, Cab Franc, Cab Sauvignon, Merlot, Petit Verdot. Other French varietals from the Rhone Valley. Let's see, Petit Syrah, Syrah, Grenache, Mourvèdre. I'm probably forgetting a couple.
That's okay.
We do a Tempranillo, which is a Spanish varietal. We also do a lot of Italian ones, Zinfandel, which is actually from Croatia, but it's close to Italy. We do one that's called Vranić, which is from the Dalmatian coast of Croatia. It's a new one for us. We'll be releasing it shortly.
How do you find out about these different types of wine from these different regions? I had never heard of several of the ones that you've mentioned.
Right. Well, when we were first making wine, we wanted to do something different than all the other local winemakers. So I found a source of grapes up in the Sierra foothills in Amador County, Sutter Creek. And the gentleman there named John Bree was a well-traveled winemaker and vineyard grower, and he had traveled to the Balkans and to South Africa and all over the place as a consultant, and he'd learned about the different grapes from those places and fell in love with them and, you know, eventually had those at his place, and they became available to us. So, like from South Africa, Pinotage, that's one of our signature grapes, and that's all due to John Bree. So essentially, that's how we have such a large range of varieties.
And how do you source your grapes? I mean, how did you come in contact with John?
I found him on the internet when I was looking. I remember buying a bottle from the co-op of Barbera from Renwood. I was impressed because it had its own individual number on the back. And it was a very, very good bottle of wine. It was from the Shenandoah Valley of California, which is up there in Amador. And I was working, I'm a fisheries biologist by trade. I was working on one of the rivers up there in the Sierra foothills nearby. And so I thought, well, I can leave off a grape bin and pick it up on my way home after the week was done. And so I called the gentleman and set it up, picked up the grapes after the week was over. I drove home, crushed the grapes, and they were just wonderful, wonderful. They smelled like sugar maple leaves.
Oh, nice.
When we were crushing them. Just very, very tasty. So anyway, I called him up after we crushed those grapes, and I ordered another ton. And I went back up there and dropped off two bins and came back with a ton after the next week. And that was our first ton and a half of Barbera from him. And then the next year I found out, you know, he's got Cab Franc and Cab Sauvignon and Sangiovese. And so I started adding on. We started doing more and more till where we are now, where we do 14 different things from him this year.
So, how many tons total of grapes do you
This year, I think we did 26 and a half tons.
Wow. And is Humboldt County a particularly good place to make wine?
It's a great place to make wine. Sometimes it's challenging for the folks that grow the grapes here if it's a colder year. Or if it's a really hot year, then there's oftentimes fires, which can totally ruin your grapes. Sometimes there's the in-between years where it's just right.
Uh-huh.
So, but, you know, there's not a large supply of local grapes produced, so that's why we source our grapes from outside the area generally. We do have a Pinot Noir coming from southern Humboldt. We'll probably bottle it later in the summer, and that's from Fruitland Ridge. That one should be very nice. We got that a couple years ago.
And the temperature is important. Why for Humboldt County weather to be good for winemaking?
The temperature is important because it's cooler here and you can do a slower fermentation. If you do a slower fermentation, you usually get better extraction of the phenolics and the flavonoids, so the flavors and the aromatics. You can get more out of the grape skins. The skins are what contain most of the flavors and the aromatics and the color. So if you break it down more slowly, you have fewer problems in the long run, and also you get a better extraction and a fuller, more robust wine.
And then you actually crush grapes up at your house, and I can't imagine these big old trucks with tons of grapes pulling up to your door. So how do you deal with that?
Right. Well, the grapes that come from Amador, they're picked early in the morning when it's cool, and they take them down to a packing house in Lodi, and they chill them down to like 38 degrees, and they're dumped into containers at that point. And then there's a couple of trucking companies that have gone down for me, refrigerated trucking companies, Customer Freight and Humboldt Bay Packers, and they will backhaul the fruit for me. And so it arrives under temperature control, 38 degrees, and then they store it until I can pick it up the next day at their facilities. So I go down on my 18-foot trailer in my F-250 truck and haul back 3 tons at a time. And yeah, I have a narrow one-lane dirt road with a really steep hill. So, yeah, I can't get a commercial truck in there, so I have to do it myself. Grapes from Mendocino and Lake and Dry Creek, where I get other grapes from, I have to go get those myself.
So and you go down there with your truck and your trailer?
Yes, yeah. It makes for a long day.
Uh-huh. Well, let's just talk briefly about awards. What sorts of awards have you won?
Okay. I've been competing in several different competitions. There's numerous competitions. I'm from upstate New York, so I chose the Finger Lakes International Wine Competition back in New York. It's a very big competition. Wineries from all over the world compete there. They have 3,500 wines competing. Generally, you know, hundreds and hundreds of wineries. They have like 60 international judges that judge the wine. So that one I chose because they had Pinotage as a grape varietal, and that being one of our key wines, and also Nebbiolo, which I'm very proud of. They had that as a individual competition wine. So I do that every year. And generally, I enter 6 in that competition because they require 4 bottles of each. And if you win a gold medal, then you have to send them another case of that particular winning wine because it's a fundraiser for kids with terminal cancer, for kids and their families.
Wonderful.
So it's a very good competition to donate toward, in a sense. I also enter my wines in the state fair, and I've been doing that for a couple of years. And we also enter in the Humboldt County Fair. I've gotten double gold back in New York for our Elysian Fields, and numerous golds for lots of other wines each year in all the different competitions. So,
Great. And your tasting room is up there in Trinidad. If people want to come up there and sample some of these wines, what are the hours that your tasting room is open?
Currently, we're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, noon to 6, and Thursday night from 4 to 7. And then in the summertime, which starts in June, Wednesday through Sunday, noon to 6.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with Don Brehm from Moonstone Crossing Winery.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.